Hey there, friend. You are in for a great episode. I'm excited for you to apply what you learn. But after that, which episode will you listen to next? It can feel a bit overwhelming when there are so many episodes to choose from. That's why I created the podcast Roadmap for You. It's a free resource you can use that outlines the first 30 episodes I recommend listening to when you're either new to the podcast or coming back after a break and looking to get started, taking action toward creating permanent weight loss, as well as peace and freedom around food. To get it sent to you right away, just go to KatrinaEubelMD.com/start. Again, KatrinaEubelMD.com/start. Listen to the first episode and apply what you learned to yourself and your life. Then listen to the next episode. Apply that information and on you go. It won't take long and you'll see positive changes on top of building your momentum. So get the podcast roadmap now. KatrinaEubelMD.com/start. Enjoy this episode. You are listening to the Weight Loss for Busy Physicians podcast with Katrina Ubel, MD, episode number 199. Welcome to Weight Loss for Busy Physicians, the podcast where busy doctors like you get the practical solutions and support you need to permanently lose the weight so you can feel better and have the life you want. If you're looking to overcome your stress eating and exhaustion and move into freedom around food, you're in the right place. Well, hey there, my friend. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm so glad you're here today. If you are new to this podcast, you are in for a treat. I am telling you what, this episode today, it's so good. You can't even make this stuff up. It's, oh my gosh, you are just in for a treat. Trust me. Now, I believe that the day that this episode airs is election day in the US. And I know the whole world is watching this election. I know all of us are watching the election. I know when I was recording this podcast with Gretchen, who's the success story that I'm talking to today, we were both agreeing that we just wanted this day to come so we could just move on with life. And so that day has arrived. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're in the US, to vote. Hopefully you're planning on doing it, but especially if you are at work or things get busy. I mean, if you haven't already voted or done absentee, I just do want to encourage you to get out there and have your voice heard. It is, of course, important. I can't wait to find out what the result is. Just as Gretchen and I were saying, there's going to be something we got to manage our minds around. So what is it going to be? We just want to know what it's going to be. Okay, so Gretchen, who is my guest today, I'm telling you what, when I think of someone who has had incredible results from learning what I teach on this podcast and everything I teach in the Weight Loss for Doctors Only program and actually applying it to her life, it is Gretchen. She is incredible. She has completely transformed her whole life in so many different ways. You're going to be shocked when you learn and hear and see what she tells you about. I mean, it's incredible. And I'm so excited that she was willing to come on and talk about her transformation, to talk about all the progress she's made. There's literally not one area of her life where this coaching work hasn't helped her. And so I know that it's always so interesting to hear other people's stories and where they're coming from and how they create the success that they have. I love hearing stories like that. And I know you're going to love hearing Gretchen's story as well. So please enjoy my conversation with Gretchen. And I will talk to you next week. Gretchen, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here.
All right. We have a lot to cover, a lot of ground to cover. So we are not going to waste any time. Can you just start off by giving everyone who's listening just a brief introduction?
Sure. I am a gynecologic oncologist at Mayo Clinic, and I'm also the residency program director there. I've been out of fellowship for a little over 7 years now, and I did work for a short time in Virginia before I came back on staff at Mayo. And yeah, I guess that's mostly about me. I have a husband and two teenagers, girls who are teenagers.
So, I mean, you look so youthful, we're going to say. I'm always like, how do you have teenagers? Like, it's like crazy. But people will say that to me too, because my son's almost 15 and they're like, did you have him when you were 15? I'm like, No, I did not.
I've been having to clarify that with people. I'll say, like, you know, I tell them how old my kids are and they're like looking at me kind of funny. And I say, well, my first one was when I was 28. I'm not as young as I look.
I'm like, this is a good problem to have, that people think that we're younger than
definitely,
we are.
No question.
I'll take it. Okay, so let's just start with a brief summary of your weight struggle, because you were similar to me when you found this work. You were like, listen, either this is going to work or I'm just going to say, screw all of it. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to try to lose weight anymore.
Yeah. So I was a normal weight until I went to college, gained like kind of the freshman 15. And then since then have been vacillating like up and down 60 pounds. So since I was like 18 years old, and I have tried, I mean, I think everything. I think I tried every kind of diet. Once I started to realize like, oh, I go on Weight Watchers for a year and I get it off. And then within 3 months, it's back, or, you know, a lot of it's back again. I was like, okay, maybe I just need like more wellness, or maybe I need to do mindful eating, or maybe I need to just have a coach or something like that. And so I had multiple coaches. I had 2 wellness coaches, 2 mindful eating coaches, and, you know, had them each for 8 months to 2 years. And I never lost the weight. I just like, I would feel better, or like I would eat more mindfully, but like the weight just didn't come off. And also these coaches would kind of get to the point where they would be like, I don't think we can help you anymore. Or they would say something to me like, I think you're just going to overeat at night forever. I don't think that that's really going to go away for you. I think that's just who you are. And I was like, nah, that is not what's happening. I was like, I got to try something else.
But I love that you believed in yourself even more than they did, because they're offering you this belief, right? You're like, I want help. And they're like, it's not fixable. And you could have just believed them.
Yeah,
but instead, you're like, true. I don't know. That doesn't sit right with me, right? Probably we can call it intuition. We can call it whatever. But you just knew, like, nope, that's not the answer.
Yeah, it's true. And one time I just completely burst into tears and I cried for like an hour and a half. And I was like, okay, I know that that's not true. So let's move forward. Maybe she thinks that's true, but I don't think that's true. So let's do it. So I actually had heard about your podcast and your like kind of what you do as part of being in ACOG and being on the program committee to make a meeting. And you were going to come in December, I think, of 18. You did come in December of 18 and talk to our group. Nice. And as part of that, I kind of looked into your stuff and I was like, I don't know. She says not to eat sugar or flour. That seems really extreme. So I'm just not going to listen to it. And then it just so happened one day I got in my car. I know how your phone connects with Bluetooth, and the podcast you did with your husband about charting came on.
Yeah.
And I was completely transfixed by it. I was like, oh my God, this is me. I could fix this. And then I just went back to the beginning and started listening to every single podcast from number one on. And by like the 10th or 15th in, I was like, I have to be in this group. So I signed up.
Okay, cool. Right. Because you already were part of the program when I came to visit, right?
I'd already signed up. Yes, I hadn't started. I started in January of 19, but I had already paid. I was in.
You were already signed up. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's so good. I love that. I love that. Like, it's like, I can be the same way where I'm like, this resonates. Like, I just like know within me that this is what I should do. And then it's just like action taker. It's like, how do I give you all my money? That's what I'm like with other people. I'm like, how do I pay you as quickly as possible? Because I know this is what I need. I love that.
The other thing I think is important is that when I signed up for Waldo, I was completely at the end of my rope with my weight. I was 40 pounds heavier than I am now. I was generally unhappy with my size. But I knew I had tried everything I could think of. And I was like, this is it. If this doesn't work, that's it. I'm just going to figure out how to love my body in this, the way it is. I'm going to have to figure out how to love overeating at night. I'm just going to, this is it. And the thing that actually convinced me to sign up was in one of your early podcasts, you said something like, if you want to just love your body the way it is, that's great. I'm all for it. But if you want to love your body and lose the weight, this is the work for you. And I was like, okay, where's the link? Here's my credit card.
Like, yep, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So you also had some, you know, binging, purging
kinds of habits
for years.
As well. Yeah.
For
so
years.
You purged with exercise, over exercising, right?
Mm-hmm. So and like fast, not that. Fasting, like it wasn't even healthy version of fasting, but yes, over exercising and then not eating for like an entire day in addition to the exercising.
Okay. And did that start in college? When did you start doing that?
Oh gosh. It must have. I think maybe high school, actually. I think it probably started in mid-high school. And that's something I didn't even bring up until I was like 5 months into the program because I was just so kind of, actually, no, it was more than that. It was a year into the program. I just was so ashamed of it. And I felt like that was just quote unquote me, just who I was. And I wasn't going to be able to fix it. So I didn't even try. And then, you know, like after 11 months or so and working on lots of other things, I was like, maybe I could stop doing that. That would be great.
Yeah.
Well, it takes and then
so
I did.
Time and energy, right?
Oh my gosh. An incredible amount of time and energy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So you, I mean, well, yeah. So we'll just like spoiler alert, you don't do that anymore.
I don't. It's been so January 19th, 2020 was the last time. And I can't, I used to be every week, multiple days every week, just like after a little bit of work, completely went away. It's amazing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Don't you love it when you think it's so insurmountable and then you actually put some time and effort into it and you're like, oh my gosh, this is it?
Like, it wasn't even that hard.
Oh my gosh. So when you started though, were you like thinking I'm going to get help on all these other areas of my life or were you like, I'm just here for the weight loss?
Oh no. I was just here to get back to a mid-range BMI. I mean, and at first I actually thought before I listened to your thing about mid-range BMI, I thought I was going to be like, I would be golden if I was, you know, 15 pounds heavier than I am right now. Mm-hmm. But then you were like, no, how about mid-range BMI? And then I was like, all right, that sounds fun. Let's do that.
It's not always everybody's reaction to that. So you have kept the weight off now. So you've been maintaining for like a year and a half now.
Yeah.
Basically, right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Which is like really, really awesome. Right. Because I think people are like, the weight loss is one thing. I mean, I think you have a very similar story to mine. Like I can get the weight off, right? Mm-hmm. Like I could always lose it, but I just couldn't keep it off at all.
Yeah.
And so a year and a half of maintenance is who you are now, right?
And I'm talking maintenance like up, down 1 to 1.5 pounds. And it's not even hard for me. It's really like crazy different. And like I have times where I go up like 3 pounds. I'm like, uh-oh, what is going on in my head right now? You know? But it used to be like up, down 10, 15 pounds over and over and over again. Yeah. Who wants to do that? I mean, this is so much better than that.
Totally. And when you are weighing yourself regularly, then you see the 3 pounds and you don't need to wait till you're up a size in clothes to go, huh, what's happening?
Yeah.
Is something going on for me? You know,
exactly.
Like you're aware. You're like, okay. And I just love what you said. Like, what's going on for me? You know, you're like, uh-oh, realizing that there's something emotional going on for you. There's something in your thought process that's creating this, not like, uh-oh, I've gained 3 pounds.
No,
it's like the 3 pounds just indicates that there's something going on that you need to address.
And you helped me get there. I always, the scale was never neutral for me, but you know, maybe like a year ago, I started repeating to myself, this is just data. This is just data. This is just data. Every time I step on the scale and it really is just data now, just like I, you know, like when I look at it, I'm like, huh, okay, well, there's something going on. Let's figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah. I always think of it. It's just like lab tests. Right. Mm-hmm. We're not like you're a horrible person because, you know, your sodium has changed. You know? We're like, interesting. Huh. I wonder what's going on there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what this is. Okay. I love it.
The other thing I really got to recently is that I really believe I'm never going to be bigger than this. No.
Yeah.
Like after every other diet, I really was like, well, this is going to last for a little while. You know, but now my brain is so different and I've been at this exact weight for long enough that I can't imagine ever being bigger than this. It wouldn't be possible. Yeah. I would have to have a brain transplant of some kind or stop doing the work for a long time and like completely ignore whatever, which I can't even do anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you can't, there's like the after part of your life. You can't go back to the before.
No, like, not with this no work.
Yeah.
You know, every other diet, you could easily go back to the before because your brain was exactly the same as it was before you started.
Exactly. Yes. Totally. Okay. So if that weren't enough, I mean, because already, right? Okay. You stopped binging. You stopped purging. You stopped overeating. Actually, let's just talk about the overeating at night, because that was something that did take longer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was definitely right. Because we're like, oh, it's so easy to stop, you know, purging with exercise or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like the overeating at night was something that you dug into for a while. So let's talk about that process.
So when I started Waldo, I was overeating sugar and flour every single night of the week. And then I got down to like 4 to 5 times a week. And then I got down to 2 to 3 times a week. And now, like, if I am doing that, if that like pops up, it's because something's happening and I can immediately think, okay, what's going on? What happened in that day? What did I not address in my brain that made me think that food was the answer? And, you know, I think that that will be my go-to comfort for the rest of my life, except I'm starting to have things that are more comfortable and comforting even than food, which is so exciting. That's what changed for me. What changed is now I've got other things that I love, like just stopping and listening to my body and being loving to myself. Like you say, it's okay, love.
Yeah.
What's going on, love? You know, that kind of thing.
Right. And like that's a deep connection with yourself. Like,
That feels better than potato chips. It does. Yeah. Well, so because, when you can get there.
Yeah. After you eat the potato chips, you feel like crap, right?
Yes.
You feel like
correct.
It's like too much salt. And it's just like you physically don't feel good. It's not anything that benefits you, even though we really, really hope it will, right? Like when we're like, yeah, but this time I really think it might work.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Oh my gosh. That's so, so awesome. Okay. So there have been so many things that you have worked on. Mm-hmm. And improve so many different areas of your life. And I just want to kind of go along and touch on a lot of them. I mean, I don't even think we have time to touch on all of them. There's so many different things.
No, I don't think so either.
But just to give people an idea of the kind of like the breadth of change that you can create for yourself. I love it. You're just like, okay, what's next? You just keep looking like, what is the next thing I need to work on? Okay. So religion was a big thing for you. Were you raised in any religion?
I was raised Christian, Presbyterian, but I kind of always knew it wasn't for me. And in fact, we have this confirmation thing that we did when we were 16. And even at that time, I said to my mom, like, I don't think I should do this. This does not feel right to me. And she was basically like, you're doing it. So we can talk about this when you're an adult. So anyway, I did it. But then when I was about 18, 19, I started going to Judaism and like Hebrew classes near where I lived. And, you know, had no other reason to do it at that time, except I wanted to. And then I met my husband when I was 25 and then decided to formally convert. So I became Jewish then. And it was a whole nother language to learn, and we're conservative. And so we do everything in Hebrew, and I learned how to do all the prayers and read the Torah and all that kind of stuff. But I always felt like a fraud, I think, because I had converted. And I had not really ever worked on it until I was in Waldo. And I was like, this is really uncomfortable. Like, what's going on here? Why do I have so much emotion tied up around this? And it took like 1 or 2 coaching sessions, and that is completely gone, you know, and some thought work. But I don't even think about that anymore. I feel like 100% Jewish, and I do what everyone else does. And I mean, I can't tell you how much that has changed my opinion of myself even.
Yeah. And then also just how connected you feel within the Jewish community, right?
Yeah.
Like you were saying that you were volunteering for some things and like getting more involved.
Yeah.
You know, like you didn't have to withhold your involvement because you weren't the right person.
I also didn't have to prove anything to anyone.
Yeah.
And that's what I was trying to do before.
Yeah.
Always trying to prove. Like
from a family dynamic standpoint, I'm sure that's helped so much as well.
Right? It has helped a lot, especially with in-laws who are Jewish. My husband, I happened to meet my husband in a bar, and he was Jewish. So that was amazing. So like I met him on JD.
My husband in a bar too.
It's because we didn't have the online stuff yet.
Exactly. This is how old people, this is how we met her.
Yeah, exactly. But his whole family is Jewish. And so I was always trying to prove to them also that I was Jewish enough. And that's like, I don't even... Whatever. I don't even think about that anymore.
Yeah. Just not even remotely an issue.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. Well, let's kind of pivot from there and go right into relationships some more. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. relationships with your in-laws, relationships with your mother. That was mm-hmm. a lot that yep. you spent time on. You
want to yep. to and my bit? Mother-in-law. I mean, I was just like constantly putting myself in that victim mode thing. Like someone's doing something to me. And getting out of that and realizing I get to be who I am and they get to be who they are. And we get to just enjoy each other. Has been amazing. Like I don't fight with them anymore ever because it just doesn't, like I don't engage in it. You know, I don't like get all like upset and whipped up every time they say something. And my mom, I never argued with, but our, you know, relationship is incredibly deeper after all the work that I've done here and just, you know, kind of like it's crazy different, crazy better.
Yeah. Like better than, I mean, I always think of it. It's like, you couldn't even have dreamt it could be.
Nope. I
as
couldn't.
Good as it is, right?
Exactly.
Like, so often, you know, we come into this work going like, hey, if I could just get to neutral, that would be like my dream come true. We're yeah. like, I just want to stop like detesting this person.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
But the idea exactly. of actually like loving them or yeah. thinking highly of them, we're like, that's just like a pipe dream. There's no yeah. way that that's going to happen. Yeah.
All the time because yeah. they don't actually need to do or say anything for me to love them. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's completely up to me.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, now let's talk about work.
Yeah.
So you used to stay late.
Yes.
Charting like
oh my gosh.
Forever. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Talk more about what it used to be like.
Yeah. So it used to be that I would chart at night. I would get, just like you talk about, I would get home, get the kids to bed, get a glass of wine and sit down with my computer, which of course is not efficient because you're drinking wine. Right. But... but like try to like, you know, kind of get through my paperwork and stuff. Or I would be at work until 7:30 or 8 trying to get charts done. And I just didn't even realize how much I was creating that. I see the same number of patients now, if not more, because I'm further along in my practice and I'm never in clinic late. I finish my notes before I go to the next patient every single time. They don't have to be perfect. It's awesome.
Yeah. So no more overworking.
Mm-mm.
Home on time.
Yep.
Talk about like challenging days. I mean, gynecologic oncology is not a walk in the park.
That's true.
Often. You know, I mean, you have some challenging days.
Yeah.
So you changed your whole attitude around your job being hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I can tell you about a Pop-Tart story. So in our cafeteria, there is a vending machine that dispenses Pop-Tarts. And I would often, after a long OR day, and I'm saying long because that's how I thought of them, long, hard, exhausting, whatever, mm-hmm. my brain would offer to me like, you should go get some Pop-Tarts. And so I probably got most of the Pop-Tarts out of that machine for a long time. But not recently, but maybe almost a year ago, I started to think, well, what if I didn't think my day was long? What if I just thought it was exactly the right length? And what if I just changed my thought about that? And I did. And I seriously have not touched the Pop-Tarts since then. I don't even have an urge to overeat after a long day or quote unquote long day anymore. Yeah. You know, if I talk about I've been here for a lot of hours doing a lot of stressful surgery or having a lot of stressful conversations with patients, it's like, yeah, that's what my days are like. They're perfect. They're exactly how I want them to be. And just that little shift, completely the Pop-Tarts are gone. It's amazing.
Amazing. Right. And it just shows again, like how it's not about the food, right?
Not at all.
Just like, I need some sugar and flour.
Yeah.
To try to make this better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pop-Tarts aren't even really food.
They don't taste good.
They're like chemicals in a bag.
Really,
but okay, good. Enough exactly. about the Pop-Tart.
Okay. And then you also oftentimes felt like you were missing out on what was going on at home, like if you were in at work. So let's talk about
yes.
that.
Yeah. That just added to wanting to overeat because I would think, okay, I'm going to get home at X time, but it would really be Y time. And I would maybe miss dinner. And as soon as I'm like missing out on dinner and bedtime, there's like this time scarcity thing, like constantly. And I actually made a protocol for that, just like a food protocol for nights mm-hmm. when I don't get home when I'm going to expect to. And really it was about accepting the sadness that I mm-hmm. missed, that I wasn't there for dinner, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's like, yeah, okay. Occasionally that happens. It's not a big deal. And I can feel the sadness. I don't need to make it go away. It's fine if I just let it be there. and say, I feel sad right now, it will go away all by itself. Yeah. It doesn't need food to make it go away.
Yeah. And I think that has been a lot of your work, is learning to allow the emotion. And then I feel like from my perspective, then once you get that, like, you're like, oh my gosh, okay, I can feel this. You're like, yeah, problem solved.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like, yeah. Like, you don't need, if you're willing to feel the emotion, you don't need an escape from feeling that emotion.
Escape is the operative word for me. I mean, I always wanted to escape emotions. And of course, that's like still where my brain goes like, hey, how about if we escape from this? I'm like, no, it's going to be easier if we don't. Let's just.
Exactly. Yeah. Ultimately, it's less work.
Yeah.
Right, to not.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Right. Totally. Okay. So you also have a leadership role. And so being assertive.
Yeah.
And assertive enough was something that you struggled with. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, I think when I applied for this role, one of the, like, you know, they do a survey of the entire department to kind of get like their ideas about how you're going to do. And one of the things people said were they were afraid I wouldn't be like assertive or confrontational enough. And for sure, that was a worry I had about myself too, because I didn't really like confrontation, or I felt like everything was a confrontation if you had to say something to someone. But through this work and through coaching, I really... like, I'm not afraid to be assertive. I know sometimes I'm going to mess up, because all leaders mess up sometimes. But if you're not assertive, nothing gets done. And that has completely changed in the last 18 months for me. It's been amazing, really incredible.
Has anybody noticed? I'm just curious if anybody.
Yes. Actually. So, you know, at our annual reviews, my chair was like, how are you doing this? Like, how are you having such like rapid and like amazing change? And how are you like so just effective so quickly? I was like, I have a coach. Like, yeah, that's what I do. I've got a coach. And that is how, I mean, that's just how you have all this amazing stuff happen.
Right. And fast. That's the thing. Right?
So fast. Yeah.
So fast. Okay. Let's talk about parenting.
Yes.
That's another one. So many of us, right? We're like, it doesn't come with the instruction manual. I remember the day when I finally realized, you know what? I think all of the parents are just winging it. And they always have been. Like, my parents were too.
Yep. Yeah. I worried a lot about my girls' social lives. I don't know why that was the thing I worried the most about. My girls are a little, they're not shy, but maybe like on the shyer introvert side. No idea where they get that. So I was always obsessed with like, how often are they seeing their friends and what are their friends saying to them? And I would be so angry if their friends said something mean to them. And I would worry like they're not trying enough. And I have just been able to completely drop that. And so funny, sometimes my husband will be like, I don't know, she hasn't seen her friends in a while. I'm like, she's fine. She's going to figure it out. It's good for her. And he's like, who are you?
You're right. So speaking of that, you know, like your husband, I mean, you know, when you're married, often this person knows us, you know, better than anyone else, or, you know, close to better than anyone else. How would you say that his perception is of you?
I mean, he like really can't believe it. You know, he also is starting to like tell me he changed his thoughts about something. So I would always tell him like, well, I just changed my thoughts about that, so I'm fine now. And he's like, I don't understand that. How are you doing that? You know, it's like magic. And the other day we had something stupid going on, and it's something he's believed for a long time. And all of a sudden he had a different belief about it. I was like, how did that happen? How'd you do that? He's like, well, I just changed my thoughts about it. Like you said, I just...
So
he can't believe just the change in me and how much more chill I am. I mean, I'm still a gynec, so I'm still a little not chill, but but how chill I am where I can be, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, and the thing is like the point of coaching is to help you be the best version of you. Mm-hmm. And like, if you're someone who has like a level of intensity, like that's a good thing. And like, you know, I probably want my, you know, cancer, you know, hopefully I'll never need a cancer surgeon, but I want my cancer surgeon to have some intensity, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I want them to be like,
whatever,
no big deal. Like, I kind of think it might be a big deal. I don't know. Okay. So you also used to do things out of guilt. Like you would feel sort of guilted into doing things. You stopped doing that.
Yep. Totally. Yeah. You know, guilt was maybe one of my main drivers. And it doesn't work really, because you can't be very effective or efficient if you're coming from a place of guilt and fear, is what you taught me. You know, like fear just makes you do the bare minimum while also having a stomach ache. And yeah. like trying to let go of that and, you know, really come from a place of love. And I love this. I love what I do. I love myself. Let's get it done. It's like leaps and bounds. You can get 10% done versus 100% done if you drop the guilt.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So good. Okay. A new relationship with exercise, right? Because exercise used to be a way for you to counteract your overeating and your binging.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So you stopped with that kind of exercise. Can you speak to that? Like how you transitioned to exercising now in a way that really supports you?
Yeah. So I pretty much stopped exercising except for walking during the time that I was losing those 40 pounds. Mm-hmm. And that was really helpful because the weight literally, I mean, I followed the plan that with the basic things you suggest, and the weight fell off of me. Like it just, you know, and then once I had lost all that weight, I started adding back in some exercise, but I wasn't crazy person exercise anymore. I used to do like running or the elliptical or spinning or bar or something every single day. I would wake up at 4:30 in the morning to make sure I was doing an hour of exercise every single morning. And it was a huge relief to be like, Katrina says not to do that right now. Okay. But now actually I do yoga for 20 minutes every morning, often half dressed in my work clothes because I don't get sweaty or anything. It's just gentle yoga, you know, and I go to bar maybe once a week because they have these masks required classes right now. I was going twice a week before that, but the masks required is once a week. And occasionally spinning because I really love it. And I have a Peloton and it's my favorite high intensity exercise, but it's not, I don't do it to make myself feel better. I always thought that I had to exercise to stay sane. It turns out that's not true. You can just make yourself sane and exercise because you like it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I couldn't even say it better. So good. Oh my God. I love it. Okay. Now, you know, you've touched on a little bit, but let's talk about a little bit more on the self-worth that you've done, you know, really working on loving yourself. I think a lot of people get stuck there. They're like, I see the value. I would love to do that, but I don't know how, which is, you know, it's funny, right? Because we do know how. We think loving thoughts about ourselves.
Yeah.
But our old beliefs make it basically impossible, right? Because
that's
every time we think a positive thought about ourselves, that belief comes back with that little whisper of like, that's not true. That's not really who you are.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it was, you know, it's like that dark, rotten core concept that you talk about a lot. So I really believed that I was at my core a bad person. And like I had this very fancy shell that I kind of gave out to the world. And that's how like I kept people kind of on my side or whatever.
Right.
And
you kind
really,
of fooled them. Like, so they didn't really know who you were.
Yeah, exactly. And it came to a head last January when my relationships with my friends, I was feeling physically ill about them a lot of time, about absolutely nothing. And then I was like, I'm feeling ill about this. There has to be something there. And started looking into it and really realized like, I need to like being with myself. I need to think I'm a good time, which now I totally do. You know, I'd like, and then once you think that, you think, well, if people want to be with me, that's great. But if they don't, I'm a good time. I can have fun by myself, you know?
Exactly.
So that really, like loving myself and really valuing myself made all of my relationships easier, all of them.
Yes. Right. Just that one thing. And then it improves all of it.
It radiates out. Like if you can fix the center, it just radiates everywhere. If you can fix what you believe about yourself, it's amazing.
And just to be clear for everyone listening, it's not fixing the quote unquote rotten core.
No,
right? It's realizing that that's just a thought that you have about yourself that you believe.
Yeah.
And it's not the truth. It's not like that there's fixing to be done.
No.
It's recognizing that's a thought and no longer thinking that thought.
Yeah.
And like replacing that thought with something else.
The best thing that one of the coaches ever said to me was like, what if you're wrong about that?
Yeah.
What if that's not true? And it's just like, oh, what if that's not true? That would be amazing. Let me look into that.
I love that question. You know, it's like when you get that something that is painful, but you think is just a fact. And then you're like, wait, what? Are you telling me that's not true?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's so amazing. It's the best news ever. Oh my gosh. So good. Okay. Now let's talk about something else that you went through literally a couple decades worth of therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're still really stuck on.
Yeah.
So how about you just share when you were a child, what happened?
Yeah. So I had some experience with childhood abuse, sexual abuse, when I was a little kid with a piano teacher. And I, you know, kind of finally got to the point of starting therapy for it when I was 20, and then did about 15 years of weekly or biweekly therapy for that, and got to the point where I could function, where I wasn't thinking about it all the time. And I was obviously like going to medical school and doing my job and all that kind of stuff. And it was actually around the same time that I stopped therapy that he finally went to jail because like enough people started reporting him. And so there was some relief there, but I still had it. It was still like always vibrating in my chest. It wasn't really gone. And one of your other group members started working on an issue like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I could work on that here. Let me try. Let me see what happens. Let me see if I could make this even better than it is now. And after 15 years of weekly therapy, it took me maybe 2 months to get to the point where it's gone. Like the anxiety, everything about that is gone from my life. And it's like having a different life. It's like I got a new brain. Like I really did upgrade it.
Well, especially when that's been with you for so long.
Exactly. Right?
It's been this constant companion.
Yeah.
You know, for better or for worse. And finally being able to let go of it.
Yeah. And like it changed my parenting too. I mean, I was terrified. I have two girls. Yeah. I've been terrified for their whole life, super overprotective, all that kind of stuff. And I really, really let it go. And I really know that everything's going to be okay now. And with my mom, I really blamed her for not protecting me. I really did for 2 decades, but 2 months of work with, you know, thought work. And she and I have complete and, you know, discussions and everything completely repaired that. And I don't blame her at all anymore. And, you know, it's like, I just didn't even know this was possible.
Yeah.
And I know I thought that because I had this, I was never really going to stop buffering. I was never really going to stop overeating, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But like, if you can clear out all the cobwebs, you can really work on it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and what I love about this is like, there's things that seem like really big, like sexual abuse, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's things, minor things like, you know, the Pop-Tart vending.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's like all of it factors in.
Yeah.
All of it deserves your attention. And so whether you're somebody who's had some sort of trauma in your life that has influenced all of this,
or
totally not, where you're like, listen, my life has been pretty amazing. I still don't understand why I struggle with this. Like, you can get amazing, tremendous results regardless of where you're coming from.
It's true. I think another thing I've really worked on in this program is shame. So like not wanting to talk about the abuse, not wanting to talk about binging and purging, not wanting to talk about the things that feel shameful to me, like I should hide them. I've really gotten them out in the open. And I really know now, like there's no issue too small or too big, or no one, you're not weird just because you've got issues. We've all got issues, you know, and you can be super productive and super high powered and still have issues that maybe you'd be happier if you resolved them. It's amazing.
Yeah. I love that. Right. It's like, it doesn't mean like you can't be someone who's already having this amazing life with tons of success.
Yeah.
Like if you're struggling with something, it's still, you are worth your time and effort to resolve that.
Totally.
And create a different life for yourself. I just love how you just keep being like, what's next? Like if that could be so good, like what's the next thing that I can work on?
It's true.
You know, just like maybe I'm just, what's the next up level? I love that so much.
I'm an eternal optimist. I always have been. And even when I started this program, I thought I was a happy person. I am a happy person. I loved my job. Even, you know, when I started, I love my job. I love my family. I love my life. But it's better now.
Yeah.
It's even better.
It's even better. It's
and I can
better.
Also come to happiness from a pure place as opposed to from a place where I'm stuffing down negative stuff with food. You know,
it's like you can be happy because you've handled the negative stuff by overeating. Right. Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm like, the mic has dropped. I'm like, okay. When I'm at a loss for words, it's like, wait, what's happened here? Okay. So as we're wrapping things up, if you're thinking about somebody who was like you, who was just like, I've tried it all. I've been, you know, even the experts have given up on me, told me it's not possible.
Yeah.
Right. What piece of advice do you have?
Yeah. I would say you could at least try. So, you know, you say that to us a lot about how you are very resistant to new ideas, but then you say to yourself, you could at least try. Like, this is not going to work. Well, maybe not, but you could at least try.
At least try.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm glad you bring that up because I think everybody thinks that I'm just like, yeah, like all in for everything. Mm-hmm. My default is always that's never going to work. That's the first thing that my first thought is like, that's a terrible idea. It's never going to work. I'm like, okay, hold on, let it pass.
Yeah.
Maybe I could try it. You know?
I mean, that's even how I felt about your program at first. Like I was a person who carried snacks in my purse and had snacks in my car and just like always had snacks for like emergencies, whatever that means. But I really, really was like, okay, I'll try it and we'll see what happens. And I would say to people, like, maybe it won't work for you, but you could try. You could see what happens. Your life might become completely amazing. Even more amazing than you ever dreamed it could be.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And it's just taking a chance on yourself. And I think thinking that you're worthy of your own time and effort. I think that's an issue for a lot of people thinking like, I'm not home enough. I should be spending more time with my family and things like that. And I think it's the opposite, right? We need to be making sure that we're whole and feeling cared for.
Yeah.
By ourselves, right? Meaning like we are caring for ourselves so that we then can really approach all the people that we love in our lives in the best possible way.
Yeah. It's really, I mean, I can't imagine anything better than having a life like this.
Yes. Oh, so good. Oh my gosh. Okay. Any final parting words? Anything else?
Yeah. I would say you can be free. I know that before I started Waldo, I felt stuck. I felt like I was in overeating jail, like whatever that is.
Yeah,
like I couldn't stop overeating. I couldn't be a normal weight. I kept trying, but spinning in circles. Like you've done hard things. Everyone has done hard things. All you have to do is follow the blueprint and do hard things in that direction. And you can actually get out of the cage. It's incredible. Yeah. And like fly around.
Right. It is. It's kind of like, you know, they say about free range chickens, you know, like most free, quote unquote, free range chickens, you know, it says like on the egg, you know, or like on the chicken packaging or whatever, that they're free range. But what they say is that the little chicks and stuff are kept inside and, you know, the chickens are never like really allowed to go outside until they're full grown. Well, if they have never experienced outside and then they're in this like, you know, big, it's not a warehouse, but whatever those chicken.
Yeah.
Things, those, you know, I don't know what those like those big
chicken places,
chicken buildings are, you know, where they're all running around.
Yeah,
they'll have access to the outdoors, but it'll be like one door in this small little area. Well, then they'll never go out there because they don't even know. They're like, that's scary. I don't even know what that is. And it's like, hey, there's bugs and sunshine and like the best chicken life you could ever imagine out there.
Yeah,
and they're like, I don't really know. But like, maybe there is that one chicken who kind of goes to the door and is like, what's going on out here? You know, the one.
Hey, guys, it's pretty good out here.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like you have to take the chance on like, let me just check this out and see if this really could possibly be better for me.
Yeah.
Because most people will be like, listen, the life inside the chicken building is a great life.
It's pretty good.
You get to run around. There's food on the floor. You get to eat whatever you want. You know, like, right? Like, taking that metaphor probably a little too far. But like, it's okay to be like, I have this great life, but I still want more for myself.
Yeah.
I want to explore what else is out there for me and see what I could create. And then every now and then you completely shock yourself, which is your story.
Yeah.
You're like, what the heck? Who knew this could happen?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's so amazing. Yeah. Oh my God. I love it. Gretchen, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Yeah.
And just coming out to the podcast. I appreciate it.
It was
so
my
much.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Did you know that you can find a lot more help from me on my website? Go to KatrinaUbelMD.com and click on free resources.